Hello and welcome to another episode of Lie, Cheat, and Steal, the podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. I'm your host, Pat Royce. We are a bi-monthly podcast. You can find us on Twitter at LCS Podcast, and we're also on TikTok at Lie, Cheat, Steal Podcast. If you like what you hear, give us a five-star rating and review wherever you're listening to this at. And you can also subscribe to our Patreon, where you get two more episodes every month, and that's at patreon.com/liecheatandsteal. With that out of the way, I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Kath Barbadoro. Kath, how you doing?
Hi, Pat. I'm good. I'm a little tired today. I couldn't sleep last night, and I was on TikTok, and I somehow got sucked into... So apparently NSYNC reunited the other day to, like, present an award or something, and it has caused a resurgence in NSYNC appreciation, and I got stuck on NSYNC TikTok, and I realized... I would not have known this about myself until last night when I couldn't sleep. If they reunite for a tour, I'm buying tickets. Like, I was taken in. I was like, this is good. I've liked Hell it when yeah. I was a kid. I thought I'd moved on. It's like, nope, this is still great. This is still great.
I bet, like, JT is back in the price range now, too.
That's, you know, I think, like, that's why there are rumors that it's happening, because, like, I think he was the holdout for so long, and now he's sort of back down to a level where, like, it's starting to make financial sense. But, you know, I always, JC is the real talent there. Justin Timberlake, he got the rocket strapped to him, but, like, JC is the real brains of the operation. He's my favorite.
Oh,
so
word.
Is
JC the bad boy? The one who had, like, the dreadlocks and the goggles and shit?
No. JC is, like, he was sort of, like, the shy, sensitive one, I feel like.
Okay.
He was sort of the second lead. Like, the verses that JT didn't sing, JC would sing them. So, and then he had, like, a very brief kind of failed solo career. There are a lot of conspiracies about him, his solo career being intentionally tanked in favor of JT. I learned all of this last night, by the way. So
I'm seeing this guy again. Yeah, JC Chase. I remember him.
He was good. Yeah.
Was he the one that did the song where he did the one solo outing with a female vocalist, I forget, but he's like, "Don't you like my Tim's, my baggy jeans, my thug appeal?" Was that him?
Yes. Yeah. That was like pre-NSYNC, and I think it was one of those things where, like, they got him and they weren't famous, so it was like, well, he's not gonna be they're not gonna know that he doesn't have Tim's and baggy jeans and thug appeal. No one will know. And then they got famous and it was like, yeah, that guy does not have thug appeal. That is not
I just pulled him up right now and he's glaring at me. I'm fucking terrified of this guy. I wouldn't want to be caught with him in a dark alley. That's what's up. TikTok will do it to you, man. That'll keep you up late. They've got whatever that algorithm
really
science is down. Yeah, it's like they're like the Walter White of fucking algorithms. They figured it out.
For real.
The other day, I got home in time to go to bed and get a reasonable 8 hours of work before I went to work. And I think it was just like, I have like a lot less free time these days. And it's one of those things you just hold on to every minute of free time. And I sat there scrolling. I didn't get to bed until 1:30. I had to be out the door at 5:30. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Hating myself as it was happening.
It's like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like bedtime rebellion, where it's like, well, work gets all my waking hours, so fuck you. I'm going to stay up. This is my time to stare at my phone for hours.
You can't take this from me.
I used to be pretty good about, I only let myself look at TikTok if I were, like, on the bus or something. Like, I made a rule that I can't look at it when I'm, like, unless I'm, like, captive somewhere where I can't do anything else. So, like, public transportation, I can look at TikTok.
Yeah.
I think I need to go back to that because, I don't need to be learning about JC at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. I don't need that in my life. So.
Yeah. I started getting back into watching skate clips because I used to skate when I was, like, you know, ninth grade. And those skate clips, they got them edited. And, like, I already like watching people skate anyways. It's, like, hypnotic. And the way they got them edited, it just sucks you in. Next thing you know, it's, like, 45 minutes have gone by. And you're just watching dudes just hit sick ollies. That and raccoons. I love videos where raccoons are up to stuff. So it's all raccoons and skateboards on my feed.
One of my favorite things lately, I don't know if you got this, but it was like this filter of the penguins from the Madagascar movie doing this dance, and it fit perfectly with a 3-6 Mafia song. So everybody's oh, yeah. doing this dance with the little penguins. I think it's, I'm trying to figure out which, I think it's like half a sack or something. It was like, yeah, half on a sack. It fits like oh, perfectly yeah, yeah, with yeah. it. And it's very good. I've really been that. Enjoying that.
Yeah. God bless you.
Anyway, I have yeah. a segue, I think.
Okay, let's
for my story today. So speaking of entertainment, the story that we're going to cover today was made into a movie a few years ago.
Oh.
And okay. it was a very successful movie. And the reason I never thought to cover it for this podcast was because I hated this movie. I thought it was really bad. And so I never thought about it again. I never thought about the story again after I watched the movie because I hated the movie so much. But I know this is sort of a minority opinion. So I won't, if you like it, that's totally acceptable. Most people do. Have you ever seen American Hustle?
I have not. I've heard about it, but I've not seen it. So this is all new to me.
It's what sort
did
of
American
like,
Hustle come out the same? It came out at the same time as something else that I saw. It was like another like, hey, snappy crime movie kind of deal.
And I can't remember what it was like either, but there was another one that came out at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, they had like a Deep Impact in Armageddon kind of thing where it was Wolf of Wall Street. Well, it was Wolf of Wall Street and fucking American Hustle. And it was like, there's a rule that you can only see one. So I only saw one.
Well, it's funny because I think American Hustle kind of is. So it's by David O. Russell, who has made a bunch of movies that, again, a lot of people like. The only one I like is The Fighter. I think that's a great movie. I don't really like his other stuff. I think American Hustle was like.
Three Kings was tight.
I've heard Three Kings is good. I've never seen it because I don't like the rest of his movies. So
yeah, I'll check it out. Then again, I haven't given it the adult rewatch yet. I loved it when I was a teenager. It was like it was like real slick as shit when I was a teenager. But I haven't given it the go back yet.
I've heard it's like holds up. Like usually when I say I don't really like David O. Russell except The Fighter, they say, "Have you seen Three Kings?" So I'll have to watch it. But
George Clooney, man, for my entertainment dollar, the guy knows what I like. Me some Clooney on the screen, man.
He's a damn like movie charming star. Guy. He really, yeah. But it's interesting you compared to Wolf of Wall Street because I feel like American Hustle was sort of David O. Russell's attempt at doing a Scorsese movie. Like it had that kind of feel to it, but I just didn't like it. So I like haven't thought about it in a long time. And then I found this story and I was like, this is such an amazing story. Why haven't I heard about it before? And then I found out it was American Hustle and I was like, oh, well, that's why. So I haven't thought about it. So if anybody's seen that movie recently or knows about that movie, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about something called Ab Scam today. Have you heard of Ab Scam?
Yes, I just got. I just started listening to a podcast about this dude. That's so crazy. The dots are connecting. Yeah, I listened to the Abs podcast about Ab Scam like a week and a half ago.
Oh
and
shit!
So,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. That guy seems cool as shit.
You'll be able to help me tell this story then, probably, because I read some articles.
Yeah.
What's the podcast called? If people want to go more in depth,
about it's it's American Scandal. It's American Scandal. It's on Wondery, and they do. I've pulled a few topics off American Scandals. They got some good shit, and it's just this dude. His name's Lindsey Graham is the host, and he's not that one, but he is like a podcast
sucks.
Voice actor. When he like started hearing his podcast, he'd always be like, "Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham." You go, "No, not that one." But he does every character in every reenactment, and like that dude's voice acting is incredible because he'll just like if he's in a female character, he'll just like slip in a slight into incantation. You're like, "Oh, it sounds like I don't know." He's very good, and people who like him love him, and I love that guy. So American Scandal, hosted by Lindsey Graham. Check it out.
So we're gonna do our version of it today, put our spin on this story. I had like I'm sure I'd heard of this, but I just like never had like learned about what it actually was. And it's pretty wild. So Ab Scam, I'm gonna jump in here. So the two articles I sort of took the most information from where NJ.com wrote a piece called Jersey Hustle, The Real Life Story of Ab Scam. That was by Ted Sherman. And then the other one is by Jimmy So at The Daily Beast called The Real Story and Lesson of the Ab Scam Sting in American Hustle. So like a bunch of stuff came out about this around when that movie came out. So Ab Scam is the name for an FBI corruption investigation that played out in the late 1970s and early 1980s that caused they got 19 convictions, many of them politicians. So 7 members of Congress, 6 House of Representatives, 1 senator, a New Jersey state legislator, 3 Philadelphia councilmen, and a whole bunch of accessories to that as well, got caught up in this. And it's a really interesting story because I feel like there's some ambivalence here that is interesting. I don't know how much ambivalence I feel, but yeah, we'll get into it. It's a very interesting story. So, as Pat said, the guy at the center of this is a real, he's a real character, yeah, this guy.
A man after my own heart. Like, I just, I love a good crook. I love a good nonviolent crook. You know what I'm saying? Somebody right. that's just like a, you know, a scammer. That's why we do this podcast. I just, there's something about that personality type. I've always thought it was cool since I was a kid, and my parents noticed it, and they were like, these people aren't cool. And I was like, they're kind of cool though.
they're a little bit cool.
You're also not, you're not helping it by saying they're not cool, because that just makes them cooler. So I don't know if you might just want to backpedal on that. But yeah, always love this type of guy.
Yeah. So this guy, his name is Mel Weinberg. Melvin is his legal name. So in the movie American Hustle, the character based on him is named Irving Rosenfeld. Man, really had trouble saying
like, let's make Mel Weinberg more Jewish. He's like, we'll call him Irving Rosenfeld.
Who is played in the movie by Christian Bale. So if you're watching it, that's who this is about. So this guy, he grew up in the Bronx and was sort of a hustler, you know? One of his early jobs was he was bribed by a union official to smash glass windows at places that had used non-union glaziers for the windows.
Fuck yeah.
So like shit like that, just like old school union corruption shit. So yeah. That's like kind of how he got his start. So you know, the classic path for someone on this podcast. He starts out doing that, and then he starts sort of your classic scam firm, like investment firm that like we talk about all the time. So basically he had this firm called London Investors that, you know, he'd take your money and say, you know, promise infinite returns for your deposit, and then of course would just not pay people back or do, you know, like a little bit of Ponzi scheming, and then that's that.
Yeah.
So he was pretty good at this. One of his notable victims was Wayne Newton, which is wild.
Oh, is not unusual? Is that his line? No, it's one of those old crooners and shit.
That's not him, but he's like one of those guys.
He's like
a Vegas-y.
I
can't remember what his name is.
Johnny Bravo's mom, the ongoing joke in the cartoon Johnny Bravo was that his mom loved Wayne Newton. And he'd always try to be like getting her Wayne Newton tickets. Or I can get those for mama. You know, that was a big deal. What a hilarious rapist that guy was, Johnny Bravo.
Oh,
he was just.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just like, I don't know how they walked that line, but they really did. They really did a great job of making like a very charming, cute children's cartoon about a full on creep. Just total predator. It's like, it's okay because like, he's not successful at it, so it's fine.
Yeah, it never works. Yeah, it never works out. And also, like, his character, like, just given the way he was drawn, functionally attractive, looked like an attractive male in that series. Like, yeah, and I don't know why it never worked out for him. Might have been the overly aggressive sexual antics.
People could tell he was a creep. That's why. It doesn't matter. If you're a creep, you're a
creep. Doesn't work out for you guys. I don't care how handsome you are, all right? Give it a break.
So, so he got Wayne Newton. Apparently, he only got Wayne Newton for $850, so not too bad. But he did ensnare a famous guy. And there's a rumor, too, that his wife almost left him for Wayne Newton. So I guess Wayne Newton was, like, around. I guess that's what's going on
this
here.
This dude just had access to Wayne Newton. Like, and more importantly, Wayne Newton had access to him. So there you go.
So, according to Weinberg, like, some of the people were so taken in by him that they got ripped off by him twice. Like, they didn't learn the first time and he got them again, which rocks.
Beautiful. Yeah, so, that's definitely the kind of people we do episodes about. Like,
so, he was married once, he got divorced, then he marries this woman named Evelyn Knight, who was, like, this very classy British lady who he always introduced to people as Lady Evelyn. And they all just sort of assumed that she had some kind of title because she was this like classy British lady. But she was just some lady. Like, it's one of those like power of suggestion things. It's like, well, I never outright said it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like the guy they get. There's a British dude who does the voices for like these collectible channel things, and it like it sounds very distinguished, but he's selling like fucking coins with Trump's face on them. And I'm just like, I bet that dude just, he sounds great, but I say like, this is a regular guy, and people hear his voice like, no, this must be legit, man.
Right? They got exactly. This British guy knows what he's talking about because he's British.
Yeah. Yeah. All Americans are guilty of that to a degree.
I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but maybe not, about how like. There are two types of British accents, and one is like the smart, like it tricks you into thinking they're like a genius, and the other one is like the dumbest person you've ever heard in your life. Like those are the two British accents, where it's just like this person for sure can't read, or this person went to Oxford. Like there's no in between. It's so
no between. Yeah, I know
they're both. They're both unfair stereotypes. Like, I know, I get it, but that's to American ears, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. 100%.
But Lady Evelyn was one of the former kind. She sounded very, very fancy and classy, and he called her Lady Evelyn, so everyone just assumed that she, you know, was some high society lady. In American Hustle, her character is played by Amy Adams, and the twist in American Hustle is that she's not actually British. This woman was actually British. That happened. Okay. So she wasn't actually all that involved in Weinberg's like schemes. It's debatable whether she knew that he was like generally a con artist. But at some point, one of Weinberg's victims went to the police and said like, yeah, and he has this wife, Lady Evelyn or whatever. So they like subpoena her and in basically to like help her out, he starts working with the FBI to like try to get her out of trouble. He also is facing a grand jury, so like it helps him too. But that sort of pushes him over the edge of like, okay, I'm really gonna do this. Before that, he had been a low level FBI informant, but this case, he was like, okay, I have to like really give them stuff to get out of trouble.
That's so crazy how so many organized crime figures, like especially like famous ones you hear about, like strategically were informants, you know what I'm saying? To the point where like they're like, oh, I'm not giving up my guys, but I'll give up my fucking enemies for sure. Like that's just worthwhile tactic if you're in the world of organized crime is to be like, yeah, I'll inform on the fucking competition. Not a problem at all. Like,
It basically makes the FBI just another player in organized crime, like violence.
Yeah.
Is because like they will, you know, like they'll take somebody out or they'll get information, arrest somebody. Then there's a big gang war to like figure out who the next guy is, like all that kind of stuff. Cause they have all these people on retainer. Cause like all of them were talking to the FBI, just not about their own shit. But yeah, so that's like what this guy did. He started working with them more extensively. Initially, he was working with them on pretty low level stuff. He had like this, he was involved in this operation that had like a $32,000 budget. It was supposed to be for a couple months. But then he helped the FBI find some really valuable paintings. I guess he somehow knew like where these paintings were located. And the company that insured the paintings gave him a reward, a $10,000 reward. And I guess they let him keep it because he was like, okay, now, I can make some real money with this FBI stuff. Like if I really help them, I can get paid. I can make this a job.
Yeah.
So he keeps working for the FBI. And when he realizes he can make all this money, he starts thinking up bigger and bigger cases for them. And most of the like accounts of this guy are like, yeah, he had FBI handlers, but like he was in charge. Like they were not handling him. He was like just doing kind of whatever he wanted. Is that what the American
that was the vibe
I said?
Yeah, that's the vibe I got. Was he was just like he really ran the show. Like I think it's kind of funny like how people who are in charge of fighting crime like don't have any connection to like a criminal mindset. And like there's mm-hmm. the stories like that where like it really shines through. Like they were like, you know, one time they were prepping him to go talk to somebody, and the way they were telling him to approach the situation, he was like, I don't need to do any of that stuff. This guy's crooked. They're like, no, he's not crooked. He's a politician. He's like, look, if he's a crook, he's a crook. He's gonna take the money. Like, you don't know how crooks think. And yeah. he like went there and just didn't do any of their dog and pony show, just basically off top was like, yo, you wanna do this? And the guy's like, yeah, let's go, let's do it. Like, and the cops thought it was gonna take like 45 minutes of like coaxing him into it. The guy's like, no, this dude's a criminal. I'm a criminal. We'll be good. Yeah.
Yeah. We're covered. I know if we offer this guy money, he will take the money. Yeah. So this guy really was like, he was in charge. He was coming up with everything. They could like sort of barely control him. So he's coming up with these bigger and bigger scams, and he finally hits on the idea that would become AbScam. So, basically, Weinberg would represent himself as the agent of a classic scam figure that we see so much in our podcast, a Sheikh from the United Arab Emirates. One of the, if any fucking like royalty from the Saudi Peninsula is approaching you about a business arrangement, that's a scam. That is a scam.
Yeah, no, they do not give it. They don't need to talk to you. There's nothing in their business plan that you're going to be a central part of. Yeah, at all. And then it is funny just like how we like associate. That's just like a go-to like caricature of wealth. It's like, this guy's a fucking Saudi prince, man. Yeah, and if you're desperate enough or crooked enough or just love money enough, you can let yourself get blinded by that. So guys, if you are approached by a Saudi prince, it's probably not a Saudi prince. That's just statistically, unless you yourself are a billionaire.
Well, I feel like we've touched on a lot in like all of the ones about Saudi princes and Emirati sheiks and stuff, and then also in the story you did about Akeble Miaza, like that guy too, just like the way that sort of preconceived notions about non-Americans and non-white people allow white people to get scammed by these people who are just sort of playing into these sort of romanticized notions of other countries, whether it's like sort of overplaying the you know, like developing nation status of countries in Africa, or overplaying the like wealth of these oil countries.
Yeah.
Although I will say some good context for this is like this was all happening in the late 70s when oil prices were like crazy because of OPEC oil embargoes. So like this was like the time in the 70s where they rationed when you could get gas. It was like, if your license plate ends in these numbers, you can go get gas today. Like, that's how in demand oil was. So this is a time when like that part of the world is really, you know, amassing wealth at like a really high rate.
Yeah.
But everybody, all these Americans are just like, well, fuck, it cost me $1 million to fill up my tank, so of course this guy's rich, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that guy's got my $60. I know he has it. Well, also, like, whenever, like, another ripe time for scam is financial instability, like economic instability. Yeah. That's another, I guess, and even in boom times, there's opportunities for scamming. I guess it's all about how you play it. It's like, hey, things are really bad right now. Here's your lifeline. Or things are going great right now. Join the rocket ride to the top with us. Come on in, baby. Like, it's like, if you're a good con man, you can take whatever the tenor of the day is and be like, hey, this is, you know, this is where we're at now. Like, yeah, you can play upon that. And I'm sure that guy was really good at it.
Right. And that the Daily Beast article also made note of the fact that like that might be part of why his investment scheme was working, because this was like the stagflation era where interest rates were really high. So like when interest rates are high, it like hurts people with debt. It helps people with investments. You know what I mean? So like like targeting people to make these fraudulent investments like worked really well. So, anyway.
I love that there's just a room somewhere in Washington where a guy makes up a number that is the interest rate. He's like, nah, it's at 3. Now 3.1. We'll call it 3.1. And then there's just like global economic reverberations for the next decade. Like, it's so cool. Man. I love that.
The economy is fake. It's pretty great. So Yeah. He represented himself not as the Sheik, but as a representative of the Sheik. Obviously, Mel Weinberg is not necessarily going to be good at playing an Emirati Sheik. Yeah. But
hello, I'm Arab. You know, some of those guys had like brown face and shit. So some of the agents, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So he starts with just like your average white collar crooks running this scheme on him, where he basically says that he's representing this Emirati Sheik, and there are like a couple reasons that he gives for like why the Sheik wants to invest. So he uses the name Kambir Abdul Rahman. And he says this guy, he wants to loan out his money at interest, again, because interest rates are really high. But that is against Islamic law. You're not allowed to do that. It's usury. So he's like basically looking for a fence to help him do this because it's sort of against it'd be a big scandal if they found out he was doing it. So that was one thing.
I love how he's fencing for Allah. It's like I'm trying to cheat God on this one. I got to go through an intermediary. like God's gonna be looking through the records. Like, oh no, that looks good. Like he's gonna just fool God somehow. That's great. I love that.
So that was one. And then he also would just say like he wants to buy art or he wants to finance porn. That was a big one. He said he wanted to like get into the porn industry. So again, like adding to this picture of this guy's like, I'm the representative of a crook, just like you, the person I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Like, this is a crooked guy. Yeah. This guy wants to cheat Allah. Like, he's unscrupulous, you know? He wants to invest in porno. Yeah. So,
investing in porno is such a great concept. Like, I want to invest in porn. I love that.
I mean, it's good money. Apparently there are a lot of, I probably not so much anymore, but apparently there was a lot of organized crime in, the beginning of the porn industry, financing all that stuff.
A lot of like drug dealers and stuff, launder money through there, just like mob control. Cause it used to be illegal. Yeah. It was illegal to make the shit. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and it's only like a half step away from vice, you know, gambling and all these other things that organized crime is involved in. So, anyway, as you said, there were occasions when Sheik Kambir Abdul Rahman had to appear in front of these marks in this scam, and they were portrayed by a couple different FBI agents. It is unclear the extent to which brownface was used, but it was certainly very possible. American Hustle obviously really makes hay out of this. Like they have like, you know, an Irish guy who can't speak Arabic doing it, like that kind of shit.
Man, what's fucked up is like the idea of like what somebody is like, hey, you got to pretend to be Arab, like what behaviors they were just busting out, you know?
Yeah,
like,
man.
I'm sure these weren't the most nuanced performances, you know?
Yeah. Again, playing on people's sort of racism that you could get. It's like Borat, basically. It's like,
yeah,
if you're ignorant enough, Borat seems like a real guy, you know? Like, I don't know anything about Kazakhstan. I guess this is what they're like, you know? But anyway, so the Sheik would sometimes make an appearance. And at first, as I said, they went after white collar criminals, like people they expected to be corrupt sort of business people and things like that. So, the scheme really got bigger when Weinberg went after this guy, William Rosenberg, who said that he would make $7 million in commissions if he could help the Sheik make a profitable $100 million investment in Atlantic City, which at the time was, they were trying to make it like the Vegas of the East, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it worked. It's pretty depressing down there.
Atlantic City like just has like, it's like a go-to if somebody's like a scumbag. You're just like, hey, I'm gonna be in Atlantic City. This way it just feels like such a sleazy place. If you're from there, sorry, I'm sure it's beautiful, but
I've heard it's like really fun, but it's like a gross kind of fun. It's like Jersey Shore fun, it's like
it's Jersey,
be a little sleazy. So again, like representing all this crooked stuff, he's like, you know, Atlantic City, we're going to invest in Atlantic City. The problem was that the Sheik needed a guarantee that the hotel casino that he was helping to build would get a gambling license. Very coveted, you know, thing to get. And yeah. Rosenberg just immediately comes out and says, as you said, like, if you're a crook, you're a crook. So they're talking about this, and Rosenberg just immediately is like, oh, I know the mayor of Camden, so don't worry about it. Like, yeah. Well, you'll jump the line. I know the mayor of Camden. So
yeah.
The mayor of Camden is the first politician who gets involved with this stuff. His name is Angelo Arricchetti. And in American Hustle, he is named Carmine Polito, and he's played by Jeremy Renner. So that's like who's based. He's based on this mayor. So Arricchetti was known as being sort of like a foul mouthed, you know, big talker, tough guy type of man.
Yeah.
Which I guess he probably would have to be mayor of Camden in the 70s.
Like. Yeah. They weren't elected punks.
Yeah. So Arricchetti, Rosenberg, this white collar businessman criminal, brings Arricchetti to Weinberg like right away. Like, it's, there's not like any secretiveness about the fact that this guy is corrupt.
Yeah.
Just like, they get a meeting right away. Arricchetti says, I'll give you Atlantic City. Without me, you do nothing. He wanted $400,000 in bribes. So again, just kind of coming right out with it. Like, I'm in charge of shit.
Yeah.
Give me the money. I'll grease the palms. I'll make it happen. You know? And according to Weinberg, this guy was like, he was thinking up more criminal activity for them. Like, they didn't need to present him with more ideas. He was presenting them with ideas for like shit. Like, he was like, do you need to smuggle drugs through our port? I can get you our port. Like, are you into counterfeit money? Just, he was like raring to go, you know?
Yeah. He's like, boy, I've been waiting to meet some other criminals. Let's do this.
Exactly. Yeah, just really, really feeling it. So he, like, Arricchetti, just in his crime hospitality, ends up getting all of these other people implicated in this scam. Because Arricchetti's like, what's up, dudes? Like, you need congressman? I got congressman. You need a senator? I got a senator. You need councilman? I got councilman. So at this point, Abscam becomes a political sting. So what they do, now that they have all these politicians sort of in their web, they say, okay, well, now the Sheik wants American citizenship. That's what he's looking for. And all of these corrupt politicians go to work getting this guy American citizenship, which, like, we all kind of knew that that's often how this stuff goes. Like, if you're a high power businessman who's going to generate money for the American economy, you're going to get your, you know, your immigration stuff waved through.
Didn't they facilitate that by pushing forward laws? Like, they actually, it wasn't just like, hey, I'll move some paperwork around. They literally had to like propose bills to amend the process by which citizenship is granted to make it more favorable or easy for this person. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but it wasn't like just like, oh, I'll call a guy. It was like, oh no, we actually got to get some people to put forward a bill that's going to propose amendments to the citizenship process
for this fake sheik.
Yeah. Like, for the fake sheik or his associates or whatever, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
I guess it was like, oh yeah, so, yeah, that's what I was under the impression that, like, yeah, basically it wasn't just so much of like having to make a phone call or push these guys through. It was that there would need to be like top down reform of legislation in the passing.
Damn, and
of
they
bills.
Were gonna do it. They were gonna pass it.
They were gonna do it.
Yeah.
Wow. Just to like,
yeah,
like completely upend the immigration process.
Yeah, that's not in the Daily Beast story I read, but it definitely wouldn't surprise me. But they were like definitely trying to arrange this guy to get citizenship, which is like a pretty heavy like non-financial crime. Speaking of finances, another thing to note about this is that Weinberg was paid $150,000 by the FBI for doing this work. So like, he was basically an employee at that point. He was not.
Yeah, he is a company man.
Exactly. So, and again, like, that was his sort of motivation for doing this, was like, he figured out he could make some money. And he also really enjoyed fucking over these politicians who he called, quote, a bunch of perverts, drunks, and crooks, which, can't argue with that, man.
Yeah, right? And I only like two of those things. Okay. I only like a drunk and a crook. You can take your perverted ass somewhere else.
It depends on the type of pervert. Some perverts are
yeah, very true.
You know, harmless.
We did a Vanilla Presley. We did a Vanilla Presley set the other day, and we were asking for topics of which to freestyle. And you know, you hear a lot of the same stuff. And I know where somebody from way in the back just goes, "The pedophilic elite." I was like, "What the fuck?"
That rocks. I was like, that's really good.
Yeah. We had a good time with that one too. It was cool.
Did you freestyle about the pedophilic elite?
Yeah, because we have a rule that we do where it's like we always say no food, no animals, and no Elon Musk, because those things get shouted out all the time. And then so we say that, and then somebody's yelling, "The pedophilic elite." I said, "Hey, we weren't doing Elon Musk." That gets a big laugh.
Yeah, nice.
And then it was like we had some other stuff that tied in about like quitting Monopoly. Somebody suggested rage quitting Monopoly, and it was like we just kind of tied into like corporate big banker stuff, pedophilic elite, nice. Game board. It was fun. We had a good time. It was at Roscoe's. Yeah.
That is a wild shout out though. Good for that.
Yeah,
psycho.
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
So this is where we start kind of talking about the ambivalence of this whole kind of case, right? So like they work their way up to you know, these senators and these congress people and stuff, and the stat that I've seen repeated a bunch but that I couldn't find any real backing for is that of the politicians that they offered these bribes to, 25% of those people took the bribe and were corrupt, which like that's pretty staggering, but it's also like I don't know if it's true, and B, it's not like they pulled all of Congress and 25% of them were corrupt. It was like these people who were already in the network of all of these corrupt people.
Yeah, yeah.
25% of them took it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, but I don't know. That just gets bandied about a lot, that 25%. But the tricky thing about this is like Congress is obviously pissed. Congress is very upset because like all of this stuff happens. They entrap all of these people. And that's kind of the basis of the argument, is that this was entrapment. But in the end, they, as I said, Senator Harrison Williams of New Jersey, Congresspeople John Jenrette of South Carolina, Raymond Lederer and Michael Ozzie Myers of Pennsylvania, Frank Thompson of New Jersey, John Murphy of New York, and Richard Kelly of Florida were all convicted of bribery and conspiracy in 1981. They also got some state Congress people. There were a few people that were close to being indicted but never actually took the suitcase of money and therefore avoided jail. So pretty cool.
I love a good conversation where there's like an envelope of money on the table and the person's just like, all right, well, I'm going to leave this right here. Like, oh, okay.
Right.
May or may not take it. Yeah, it's like if you can play that standoff the right way, you can actually dodge some fucking trouble. Like, you're like,
yeah,
I don't know what envelope you're referring to, actually.
They must have forgotten their suitcase here. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. What's like the old thing about you sell, like, it's like, it was a, I think it was like a, I was on that movie The Wash, which is like a real shitty hip-hop comedy from the early 2000s, and Tommy Chong has a fucking cameo in it as a weed dealer, but he has a whole bunch of weed and a bong. He's like, I'm not selling the weed. The weed is free. I'm selling this unused bong. He's like, that's what you're buying. He's like, the weed is just
that
free.
That was before it went like full decriminalized in New York, and now it's pretty much just open to sell. That was, for a while, that was a thing where it was like, oh, this is an art gallery, and if you buy a painting, we will give you this much weed. Like, if you buy this painting, shit, you'll get this much weed. So, like, that, yeah, that was a thing for a while. They were doing it with NFTs for a while, too, where it was like, basically, because, like, the commerce part of it was illegal, but the possession of it was not being prosecuted. So, like, that's kind of how they did it for a while. It was very silly. And now it's just like,
how many paintings can you have? Like, just,
yeah, just
got a fucking couch full of fucking paintings stacked up.
But yeah, so a bunch of these politicians got convicted, you know, tried and convicted. Some of them went to jail. It got 19 convictions, but Congress is obviously really pissed about this because like this makes them look really fucking bad. And they argued, and honestly, a lot of people argued that this was entrapment. At first, the public was like totally behind this and was like, yeah, get these fucking corrupt people out. And then when it came out that this was masterminded by another criminal, the sort of public opinion started to turn a little bit. Maybe this was not as cool as they thought. So Congress but was like, really pissed
Eric
about
Hedy,
this.
I was like, Eric Hedy, he was so eager to do crimes. I was like, yeah, you could say entrapment was the basis, but he was like, it was like as soon as the drink started pouring, he was just like, oh yeah, let's go. You know, like he felt right. like he was jumping all over it. Let's do more crimes. I love doing crime, guys. Come on, let's go. And it's like that was eagerness totally. On his part.
And this is kind of why I'm ambivalent about it, because on the one hand, I do not want to give law enforcement the constitutionally protected ability to entrap people. I think that is bad. I think that, like, I do not want police to have any more power than they have to put people in jail. Like, I really believe that. But on the other hand, I also believe that if you're going to be an elected representative in this country, if someone offers to bribe you, you should say no. And, like, if you're not saying no, you should get in trouble, you know? Like, it's, like, a little tricky because I'm like, I think politicians should be held to different standards than regular civilians. But also, cops are shitty. So, like, I don't know. Yeah. It's, like, a little, it's a little tricky.
It is weird. And, you know, whatever precedent they establish in those investigations can trickle down to just normal-ass people. And it's, like, you don't want
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Well, man, Congress, it's not like Congress had our best interest in heart, because basically what they did, because they were so mad about this, is they basically just made it a lot harder to do undercover investigations of politicians. Like, that's all they did. So
I'm glad they protected the real victims in all this.
Exactly. Like, they basically made it... They basically made it impossible for the FBI to ever do something like this again. So, like, there is basically no way that the FBI can conduct a political sting operation. They're just, like, not allowed now. So, you know, I don't think necessarily that the Congress people were actually upset with, you know, the police overreach. I think they were just mad because it made them look bad.
So, man, speaking about just a congressional behavior fiasco of this weekend, Lauren Boebert jacking off her dude and vaping in the theater.
this episode isn't gonna come out for like a week, so who knows what's gonna happen with that? politicians are so fucking stupid. It's unbelievable. Yeah. But yeah, that
was when that other detail emerged. Like, she did what? That was insane. Sorry, I just that part of it blew my mind. I was like, that's crazy.
At the Beetlejuice musical, like, what the man? Beetlejuice musical. Yeah. Already an insane date idea, but like, extra insane to be.
Shout out to
there.
That dude though. He's like, hey man, I got jacked off by the governor at Beetlejuice, dog, like, or senator, whatever the hell. Like, hey, look, keep it on the low, but I got jacked off at Beetlejuice by the person who runs our state. Like, that's. but that happened, man.
That totally happened to me. The Congress people, like, not only did they make the Attorney General pass new laws about undercover operations, they also just, like, were totally obstinate through all of the criminal proceedings. So, like, they had hearings on the FBI's conduct, and they would, like, deny and delay appointments with the FBI just because they were like, fuck you guys. We're not helping you. You made us look bad. So, like, everybody was super petty about it and took it really fucking personally. And but those people did go to jail, so they're never going to be able to do something like this again. But we have this really crazy story, and a criminal got $150,000, and people still debate about whether this was justified or not. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, this was worth it from the Mel Weinberg standpoint. Totally worth it.
Like, absolutely. He got, like, no downside.
Yeah, he got all his. His previous charges dropped. He walked away with a whole bunch of money. Good for him. Obviously, all the politicians, not worth it for them. This also cropped up. We're talking about movies this appears in. This appears tangentially in Donnie Brasco. I've seen Donnie Brasco where he like, yeah, they had to get the boat, so they get the left. It's called the Left Hand, and it's like just like Lefty's name, but that's actually the name of the boat they used in the ab scam thing. And it's like Pacino be like, remember when those FBI agents dressed up as Arabs and conned all those congressmen? This is a great line. I love Donnie that movie, anyways. Great. But
yeah, that movie's so fucking good. Rules.
But man, well, yeah. So I just say worth it, totally worth it for Mel Weinberg. It does suck that like. Yeah, you don't want to. It's a double edged sword. You don't want to see the overreach of U.S. government like get any stronger than it already is. But also, like, yeah, man, like you know, every motherfucker. I don't say every motherfucker, but to me, like, so many of those people are just corrupt pieces of shit that will use their power to sell anybody down the river that they want to get an envelope full of cash. And you want to see them taken down a peg or two, but then you got to think of the consequences of giving that absolute power to the FBI and be like, well, fuck, that could come back on us too. So it's tricky.
I just feel like if you're in a position of power, like a congressman or a senator or something, it's almost not entrapment, because it's like the very definition of taking that position is that people are going to try to grease your palm because you're powerful. So it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like you're sort of de facto going to be faced with the decision of whether or not to take money to, you know, do favors for people. So if one of the people asking you for favors is the FBI, is it really all that different? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't. But it's a cool story. And
definitely.
And
cool
it involved.
Story.
Oh, another piece of information that I forgot to say that I think is very funny and very dark is so Ab Scam. It initially stood for Arab Scam, and then when this all came out, the like Arab American like Justice League or something was like, hey, you can't fucking call it that. And so then they were like, no, it stands for Abdul Scam, because that was the name of the guy. And if you go on the FBI's website, there's like a very scrubbed clean version of this story that says it was called Abdul Scam, and it's like, no, it wasn't. We know it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people were like, that's so fucking racist, you can't call it that. Very funny. Just a very funny detail.
Also, how they get to Ab Scam out of Arab, it means they were initially pronouncing it Arab Scam, which is just
absolutely.
Like,
whereas, yep.
Because if it was just Arab, they would be Ib Scam, and that is not what they were calling it. That was Arab Scam.
Absolutely.
Oh, damn. So, yeah. What a cool little slice of American history, man. I swear the 70s, like late 70s just seems, again, like such a interesting time, and like these like larger than life characters, and there was this, I don't know, you feel like you're still going to get away with shit like this. So I love hearing stuff from back then. Yeah. Again, before Google, man, before you could just Google, hey, what does the fucking Prince of Saudi Arabia look like? And it's like, what? Oh, it doesn't look like Dylan McDermott with brown face. Oh, okay, fuck. Right. I thought that's what he looked like. Oh shit!
So,
well,
yeah,
Kat, thank you so much for telling us that story.
Maybe I have to watch American Hustle again. I don't know, but I just hated that movie. That movie is like 90% wigs. It's just people. It's a wig parade. It's just famous actors wearing crazy wigs. I really did not enjoy it. Someone should remake this story and make a better movie, in my opinion.
There you go, guys. Yeah. Also, yeah. check out the American Scandal podcast. It's really good. They have some cool stuff about this one. Also, totally unrelated, watch Donnie Brasco. Just if you're not out there.
Check it out. It's great.
Yeah.
If you like,
it's a great movie.
If you like The Sopranos, there's no Sopranos without Donnie Brasco. Like, you gotta.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
They should. And yeah, it shows like the reality of what it means to be in the mob your entire life. Like, it's not it's not pretty. If you're not climbing
like
the ladder,
it's very depressing. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, shit, guys.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And thanks for telling us that story, Kath. Again, guys, if you guys like what you hear, we have two more episodes every month on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/liecheatandsteal. What was our last episode about? We've thrown that out there.
That's a good question. Oh, Park West, I believe, was our last.
Oh, yeah, about Park West, the art gallery that exists on cruise ships and sells wildly inflated fake prints to people who are drunk off free wine and crab appetizers and stuff. But yeah, we cover a lot of cool stuff in there. You get access to the Discord chat, which is always a fun place. Let's see. Yeah, you can find us. We're on TikTok at Lie, Cheat, and Steal. And, or, I'm sorry, it's patreon.com/liecheatandsteal, and you can find us on Twitter. Twitter. It's at LCS Podcast. And we are also on TikTok, and that is at Lie, Cheat, Steal Podcast. So please come find us out there. I'm on Instagram at PZTX, PEEZYTX. And Kath, what do you got for us?
I have another podcast called What a Time to Be Alive. It comes out every week. It's about dumb news stories. And I do stand up around New York City. If you would like to see me, you should follow me at Kath Barbadoro on all social media and come see a show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. I hope everybody's fall is getting off to a great start. So have fun out there. Be safe. Be smart. But above all, don't get caught.
Don't get caught. See you next time.